Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Friday edition of the Hoosier Report off and running here on the Big X. Glad to have you with us. Don't forget, tomorrow, Saturday, a very busy day here of local coverage on the Big X. It gets started when my good friend John Spears heads to Evansville to broadcast the Silver Creek game, their opening round game of regional play. It's an 11 a.m. first pitch, 10 a.m. first pitch Evansville Central Time, but 11 a.m. here Eastern Time. John will be on the air with that. Then Lee Kelly, P.K. Falkenstein, the normal baseball crew, along with myself, will be in Evansville as well, but we'll be at the 4A regional, and we'll have Jeffersonville against Franklin Central. That's a 1:30 or so first pitch in that contest, and then we'll reevaluate things for the night. And if Jeffersonville wins, we'll stay at the 4A regional at Balsey Field. If Jeff does not win, but Silver Creek does, we'll flip back to Evansville North, which is the host of the 3A sectional, the regional, excuse me, in Evansville. So nonetheless, we're going to have a minimum of three games, on the air tomorrow from high school baseball regionals across Southern Indiana. We plan to have updates, call-in reports from other regionals involving our local teams. Borden is playing in the 1A regional. That regional was scheduled for Ligoti, but has now been moved. A decision made yesterday by the IHSAA due to bad weather in Ligoti that I understand knocked out electricity and power at the field, and they think it's going to be some time until it's restored. So they move that regional to Jasper. Clarksville, of course, plays in the 2A regional at Alston, and we'll keep you posted on everything tomorrow as we are on the air in Evansville following Silver Creek and Jeffersonville. So a lot of local teams with opportunities to advance on. I think we'll have some teams come out of this weekend and regional play, but I want to invite you to stay with us all day Saturday as we'll be out and about covering all the happenings in Southern Indiana sports. Also, IU baseball is on today. How about that? I don't know that IU baseball has ever been on in the area, but we were able to get it put on the network, which means we can pick it up. So excited about that. College baseball regionals getting underway. A lot of fun to watch. Of course, we got a lot of local players involved in that between Indiana and Louisville and other schools as well. So that will be fun to follow here beginning this weekend as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Busy show for this Friday show. Joining us coming up here in segment number two, Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk still some fallout from the Archie Miller speech and press conference at Huber's earlier in the week at the tailgate function. Also, Jared, who, as you guys know, is the host of Assembly Call Radio and the Assembly Call IU postgame show that we air here on the Big X, he did a terrific piece on Bill Mallory, the passing of the former IU coach. And actually, Jared's father was an assistant coach, football coach at Indiana, when Coach Mallory was there. So it's a very impressive podcast he put together with his father. A lot of great memories about Bill Mallory. We'll talk about that. And if you're interested in hearing that, we'll let Jared tell you how you can locate that podcast for listening here later today also. Also coming up in the program, Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We're inching closer to the Indiana All-Stars. That all gets underway Tuesday. As far as the senior All-Stars go, they meet at Marion University and practice and stay together for the week. They've got the exhibition game Wednesday night in New Albany. Then they trek back to Indianapolis before coming back to Louisville to play at Bellarmine on Friday. And then, of course, the game at Bankers Life to wrap things up next Saturday night, 1 week from tomorrow. However, the junior all-star game coming up very soon at Trinity High School in Louisville. We'll talk about that. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central is a local player in that game on the boys' side, so some interest in that series. It's a two-game series. That's a new event where the juniors not only scrimmage against the seniors, which that game will happen at New Albany, but also they get a chance to play the Kentucky All-Stars. That's something that's kind of been a new deal here over the last couple of years. So we'll talk about that with Kyle and more when he joins us. Then later in the program, we'll be joined by Kip Wessner of Hoosier Basketball Magazine. They are getting ready for a big All-Star game tonight in Knightstown at the gym where Hoosiers was filmed. The Hickory Huskers, their home gym. And we'll talk with him about the game he's got on tap. Demezi Anderson is scheduled to play in the game, as is Robert Fennessy tonight. So we'll talk with him about what that lineup looks like. And according to Kip, Romeo Langford will not play but will be at the game tonight, according to the latest press release from Hoosier Basketball Magazine. So Kip will join us in the final portion of the show to talk about that contest. So a very loaded program today. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Stop by Honey Baked Ham, mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off a box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at the Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Some interesting things today. IU and Duke, third time in four seasons that Indiana and Duke will hook up as part of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. John Rothstein first reported this yesterday. Interesting, because obviously last year the game was in Bloomington. It was a huge game for Indiana, and very, very fun competitive game at Assembly Hall. 91-81 ended up being the final score, but Indiana played great that game and really had some big opportunities down the stretch to win that game. But back again for a rematch. This time the game will be played at Duke. So we're beginning to piece together the non-conference schedule for Indiana. We know that Marquette will play Indiana in the Gavitt tip-off games. That will be a game in Bloomington. IU will play Louisville in Bloomington. They'll play Butler at the Crossroads Classic up in Indianapolis. And the other Big Ten ACC Challenge matchups, in addition to Indiana at Duke, North Carolina at Michigan, Michigan State at Louisville, Nebraska at Clemson, Minnesota at Boston College, Syracuse at Ohio State, North Carolina State at Wisconsin, Purdue at Florida State, Virginia at Maryland, Rutgers at Miami, Virginia Tech at Penn State, Pitt is at Iowa, Georgia Tech is at Northwestern, and Notre Dame at Illinois. A lot of interesting matchups for the 2018 edition of the Big Ten ACC Challenge. I do find it interesting that this is the third time IU and Duke will play in four seasons. It's a matchup that's almost becoming something you expect every year. This time, again, it'll be played at Cameron Indoor instead of Assembly Hall. But no question about it, a big game for IU on the schedule as we're beginning to piece together things for a potential schedule for this year for the Hoosiers. Also, I mentioned yesterday, speaking of scheduling, one of the notes that I thought kind of got buried yesterday in our program, but has been discussed more elsewhere. I've seen it a lot on social media. There, it was mentioned in a couple different reports from the Hubers event, was Fred Glass, when he met with the media before the event, mentioning that there are talks in place to return the IU-Kentucky game. No details as to if it would be played at each school's home arena or if it would be played at neutral site, which is what Coach Calipari was pushing for when the series ended a number of seasons ago. But that obviously is something that is in the works. It doesn't sound like it's something that will be happening this season, but definitely in future seasons, which is very interesting. Also, Josh Rogers, a lot of talk about him this week. He pitched in Louisville to a victory, improving to 5-3. He's got some pretty good numbers this year for the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre AAA team. And now, a couple mentions of him yesterday by a lot of the Yankees sites that follow their farm system. First, a report from in Texas that the Yankees have started talks about acquiring starting pitcher Cole Hamels, a deal centered around Chance Adams, another minor league prospect for the Yankees, and or Josh Rogers and two mid-level prospects. The Rangers believe Adams has the potential as a reliever and love Josh Rogers as a potential number four or number five starting pitcher in their rotation. So that's interesting. Then that is followed up. That report that came out yesterday afternoon was followed up by the fact or mention that Josh Rogers perhaps could be called up to pitch as soon as a Monday doubleheader for the Yankees, which will be played on the road in Detroit. So are they putting him up to pitch because he's had a good season and he's come up through their farm system and they want to give him an opportunity to try at the big leagues, or are they giving him an opportunity to pitch because perhaps they're going to put him on the trade block and want to showcase what he can do at the major league level? Nonetheless, it sure sounds like there's a big opportunity just around the corner for Josh Rogers, whether it's to get a chance to pitch against Detroit in a doubleheader and do well and become a member of the Yankees, which is just unbelievable to even think about someone local playing for a Major League Baseball team like the Yankees, or will he get an opportunity to showcase what he can do and maybe be traded and become someone that has an easier path to the Major League in another organization that maybe doesn't have all of the tools and the budget that the Yankees do. So it sounds like there are some real things cooking for him, which is awesome to hear. Very imminent, it looks like. Do not be surprised if he gets a Major League Baseball start soon. So his name between potentially being traded, potentially getting a start, a lot of things going on there could be in our headlines, I would think, for the next couple of weeks as well. Also, baseball regionals, a lot of stuff going this weekend. I want to take you through the brackets in each of the four classes one more time. Obviously, we'll start off, myself that is, down in Evansville. Evansville Wrights will host the 4A regional at historic Balsy Field. That regional at 11 o'clock tomorrow, Columbus East and Castle will play. That should be a very good game. Franklin Central and Jeffersonville will play in game number two. The Red Devils are a big favorite in that contest. Franklin Central is just about a 500 ball club. When Center Grove was upset at the Whiteland sectional, that opened the door for someone that hadn't had a terrific season to advance out of the championship game into regional, and Jeffersonville will play that team in Franklin Central at 1:30. We'll have play-by-play of that contest, and again, that's from historic Balsy Field in Evansville. Also, 3A regional tomorrow. Silver Creek getting an opportunity to play Batesville in the first game. Batesville won the Madison sectional on Memorial Day. Silver Creek a favorite in that game, although Batesville is a solid team. The winner of Silver Creek Batesville, which again, that's an 11 o'clock airtime Eastern time here. It's a 10 o'clock game in Evansville in Central time, but we'll have it on the air at 11 with John Spears. We will carry that game pitch-by-pitch coverage. The winner of that game will take on Evansville Memorial or Washington, whoever wins that second game, which, again, it's confusing. It's the Evansville-Balsy 3A regional that's played at Evansville North, which is a 4A school, and, again, it's the Evansville-Wrights regional in 4A, which is played at, to make it even more confusing, Balsy Field, which really isn't connected to Evansville-Balsy High School. It's just a legendary field named Balsy Field in Evansville. So interesting there. That's the 4A and 3A pairings. Let's take a look at 2A as well. That's where Clarksville will play at Austin. Clarksville taking on a solid North Posey team at 11 o'clock. The winner of that game will take on the winner of Switzerland County and Southridge for the 2A championship that night. And in Class A, that regional here in southern Indiana was supposed to be played at Lagodi. It's been moved to Jasper because of problems with the field after some storms rolled through earlier this week. Orleans and Bar Reeve play at 11 o'clock, followed by Borden, who won the Shaw Memorial Sectional. They take on Tecumseh in the second game, winners of the Candleton Sectional, and then the winners of those two first-round games we'll hook up Saturday night. So a lot of local baseball. Don't forget, we start 11 a.m. with John Spears. He is on the road covering Silver Creek down at Evansville North. That's an 11 o'clock first pitch. PK, Lee, myself, we're on at 1:30, and we will have complete coverage of Jeffersonville. If the Red Devils win, as we fully expect them to do, we'll be back Saturday night with the championship game in that regional. But throughout the day, we'll be having call-in reports from the other regionals. We'll be following Silver Creek. Obviously, if they make it to the championship game, we'll have some call-in reports from that game. We'll keep you posted on Austin Regional with Clarksville there. We'll keep you posted on things at Jasper with Borden there. And let's hope that when it's all said and done Saturday night, we've got two or three teams that are headed from Clark County on to the semi-state round of baseball, which, again, you get to the semi-state, you're in the Final Four. It's a one-game semi-state followed by a one-game state final either Friday or Saturday the next weekend at Victory Field in Indianapolis. So a lot of fun things to watch out for this weekend, including IU baseball playing down in the regional as well. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville. It's where fun happens and where you should be this weekend. We'll head out to a commercial break. We'll come back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call. We'll talk about Archie Miller speaking at Huber's. We'll talk about the IU roster for next season now that Jawan Morgan is back in the fold for sure. And we'll talk about an interesting tribute that Jared and his father, a former assistant football coach at Indiana, had for Bill Mallory. Tell you more about that, where you can find that podcast at. Stay with us for that and more coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call here on a Friday edition of the program. And Jared, obviously the opportunity to hear from Archie Miller right here in Southern Indiana this week has fans, I think, wishing even more that the season is just around the corner. It's been a big time for the offseason. Romeo committed over a month ago now, followed by a Jawan Morgan announcement earlier this week. He would return for his senior year, as many expected him to do so. The very next day, Archie Miller is at Huber's in Starlight. And IU basketball excitement for June 1st with the season this far away is, I think, very, very a hot commodity, much a hot commodity right now. And I tell you what, it's going to be hard, even though we've got great people like you and other IU guys to talk about the program each week on the show, each day on the show. It's going to be hard to get through this offseason with all the excitement that is built for this upcoming season. It's really amazing. And again, a lot to be proven on the court still, but it's amazing the excitement for this program and as Archie Miller heads into year two.
Man, it sure is. I mean, you know, just as things kind of started to settle down after the Romeo announcement, boom, this week happens. And like you said, Jawan's coming back. You know, Archie's at Huber's. We get the news about Indiana playing Duke, and it just ratchets up the enthusiasm and the anticipation for next season even more. So, like you said, you know, we've got to find a way to get through June and July and August and, you know, start getting into the time where hopefully there's some football to distract us. And then we get the season going. I think certainly in the time since we've been doing the show, you know, outside of the 2012-2013 season, this is as much excitement as I've felt, you know, for a new season of Indiana basketball, certainly this early in the offseason in a long time. I think it's warranted because I think there's a lot of exciting things happen. There's a lot of reasons for optimism. You know, and there'll still be plenty of things to talk about all offseason, as there always are, but this was definitely a week to ratchet the excitement back up.
Absolutely. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is our guest. Yesterday we played back Archie's comments to the media, which, again, he doesn't talk that much, so you listen when he talks. I thought very insightful comments when he was asked about some of the freshmen and Romeo, other topics as well. Then we played back most of his speech as well at Huber's the other night. One of the things I've heard from reaction from probably the most for people that were there or people that were able to hear what he had to say yesterday on our program was that, Matt, do you really believe he did not know where Romeo Langford was going when the announcement was made back on April 30th at New Albany High School. And you know what? According to him, he maybe had a good feeling, but it sounds like legitimately Romeo went into that thing with the coaches involved, the final three, not knowing exactly which way it was going to go.
Yeah, I see no reason to doubt that story. I mean, that's kind of what everybody has said. So it would seem, I don't know, somewhat silly if, you know, they all like got their story straight ahead of time and are, you know, trying to put together this elaborate ruse, because there's not really a whole lot of point to it. So I would tend to believe him, you know, and that, you know, makes that moment all the more compelling when you think about it, you know, given how much work he put into getting Romeo, you know, to recruiting him, and how much that commitment would mean. You know, I can only imagine, you know, kind of what was going through his mind. And I'm sure he had an idea. But yeah, I mean, I see no reason to, I don't know. Archie just doesn't strike me as a guy that has a whole lot of time for playing those kind of games. So that would, it would surprise me if that's not the way that it really happened.
Talking with Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, Juwan Morgan back, obviously. I think another thing Archie said the other night that was music to a lot of people's ears was when you hear a senior coming back that had the season that he did and is having a good off season, when you get to hear from NBA people and get to talk about how to improve your game and then have a summer to work on it, that's got to be a good situation. But to hear Archie say that Juwan, when he said, "Hey, I'm coming back," one of his first questions was, "Hey, when do the freshmen get here? When can we go to work?" That's the kind of stuff that here in early June will make people just go crazy wishing the season was tomorrow.
You know, the thing about Juwan that has impressed me all the way back to when he committed to Indiana and, you know, he did some interviews, is how serious-minded he is. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that he took all of the allotted time to make a really good decision, and that once he did make his decision, he was ready to jump in with 2 feet and not just come back, you know, thinking about himself and what he's got to do, but come back with a team mindset, you know, understanding that, yes, he needs to showcase these individual skills for the next level. But, you know, just as much as doing that, if Indiana has a really successful season as a team, if he's playing in high-profile games, if he's able to, you know, lead this team in the NCAA tournament, that's going to mean as much as, you know, him showing off these skills. And so I think he understands that, you know, being a leader and doing things the right way and, you know, helping to bring these freshmen along, that's going to be really important. And so it didn't surprise me at all to hear that. It's refreshing to know that he's got that mindset, and it's exciting. I mean, you don't often get, in this day and age of college basketball, seniors, you know, guys that are entering their senior season that are all conference level players, you know, that are going to have a chance to lead a team that has a chance to be really good. You know, Yogi was able to do that in 2016. If you look back, and DJ White had that opportunity in 2008, but start looking back over the last few decades of IU basketball, there haven't been many seniors whose senior season will be as anticipated as Juwan Morgan's. And so that's a really, it's a great opportunity for him. And I think it's a great opportunity for fans. And I think it's something, you know, just as we all tried to do when Yoke was a senior, it's really something to appreciate, because it just doesn't happen that much anymore. And so, you know, as long as Juwan is able to stay healthy and do all the things that he needs to do, he's really got a chance to be a special season for him individually. And if the other guys develop like we hope they will, this team has a chance to be pretty good.
Jared Morris, Assembly Call, joining us as we talk IU basketball to start off. I've seen a couple polls now include Indiana in the top 25 or top 25 plus three, and that's good. You know, now that the roster's set, I think it's setting in that Indiana does have some ability and some talent if they can put it together to be a top 25 team next year, which is exciting, I know, for fans at this point of the offseason. I've also seen some projections about the Big Ten Conference. Indiana's been a couple different places. I think maybe as high as number 4 and 1 and as low as number 6 or 7 in another. I'm curious, as you kind of look at the landscape of the conference next year as far as who's gone, who's back, now that we've passed the May 30th deadline as to who's leaving early and who is coming back to school, where do you see this Indiana team, if it comes together as we think it might, with Juwan Morgan having a big senior year and Romeo Langford tearing it up as a freshman, where could you see Indiana in the Big Ten Conference this season?
Well, I think the Big Ten is pretty wide open, and I don't, you know, there's no immediate great team that jumps out, but I think there's a lot of teams that have a chance to be pretty good. And I think Indiana has a chance to be right in that mix. Now, the thing with Indiana and the thing that does sometimes give me pause as I start letting my imagination run wild about next season is I think the ceiling for what this team can be is really high, you know, because you have a senior like Juwan. You've got just a prodigious talent like Romeo Langford coming in and a lot of other players with a lot of ability and a lot of versatility on the roster. But it is important to remember that, you know, a lot of that is projecting forward. And when you think about what we actually know about this team, you know, we know Juwan Morgan is really good. He's an all-conference level player. We know Zach McRoberts is going to set the tone on defense. You know, we know that Justin Smith is a very talented player and has a lot of ability. Same with Devontae Green, but we have to see it consistently from both of those guys. You know, I think the other thing that we know is that Evan Fitzner, the guy coming in from St. Mary's, is a really good shooter, which is really going to help given how much of a problem that was for Indiana. And we think we know that Romeo Langford is going to step right in and score 16, 17, 18 points, but we haven't seen him do it at the college level yet. And so, you know, then you start looking down the line, and there are a lot of question marks, you know, in terms of, you know, how guys are going to fit into new roles and how freshmen are going to adapt and all of those things. So I think if you want to look at it from a pessimistic standpoint, you can look at all those things that are question marks and say, okay, a lot of these questions have to be answered in the affirmative for Indiana to be really good. But on the flip side, you know, it's not like it's unlikely that that will happen. I mean, I think everybody would be surprised if Romeo doesn't step right in and immediately fill that void at shooting guard. So that's why the optimism is there. And then when you look at the Big Ten Conference, I think Indiana has as much potential for positive answers to its questions as any team in the conference. So if they can do that, you know, there's an opportunity to go win the conference next year. I don't think that is outlandish to think could happen. Now, I think, you know, when you say, you know, what's the expectation, what's the standard, I think if Indiana can finish in the top three or four in the conference and you give yourself a chance, you know, down the final few weeks, then I think that seems to me like a successful season and capitalizing on, you know, the ability that's on this roster. But there's a lot of potential there, and I think it's going to be a fun Big Ten season. You know, again, not the elite teams like maybe we saw last year with Michigan State and Purdue. But I think there's going to be a lot of good teams, and it should make for a really competitive race.
Yeah, well stated. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, is our guest. Jared, I haven't got to listen to the full thing myself yet, but before we let you go, I do want to compliment you on a great podcast about Bill Mallory, the former IU football coach, and all of his accomplishments and memories, and your father had the opportunity to work on his staff. And I just thought it was a very, very well put together deal. I know you've had a lot of kudos from other fans on social media about it. Talk a little bit about that, if you would. Give a little preview to that, and then remind people how, as always, to catch Assembly Call podcast, Assembly Call radio, and specifically the Bill Mallory type of tribute show that you did.
Certainly. No, I really appreciate you saying that. You know, my dad coached under Bill Mallory from 1984 to 1993 at Indiana, and he's just been such an important figure in my family's life, you know, and to my dad. I mean, he was like a second father to my dad. And when my dad's dad passed away, you know, in 1987, you know, even more so. And so, you know, when we heard the news of his passing, it seemed like, you know, like an obvious thing to do, because I think my dad has as interesting a perspective on Coach Mallory as anybody, just given that he played for him at Colorado and coached with him for so long. So I just figured with so many people sharing their memories and sharing their stories, you know, that was the role that I could play and the stories that I could bring to that conversation, because Coach Mallory was such an influential man, such a great coach, and I think it's important that as many of those stories be told as possible. So it's a really personal episode, and you know, one that I'm really proud of and was really happy to have the privilege to do. And really, the best way to listen to it, I pinned a link to it on top of my Twitter page, twitter.com/assemblycall. And then wherever you listen to podcasts, if you just search for Assembly Call, it's episode number 406. So it's the second one back in the archive. So it should be right up there near the top. That's a long episode, but, you know, a lot of stories from my dad and other players who played for Coach Mallory. And I think if you want to get an idea and understanding of why he meant so much to so many people, I think it really comes out in the stories that these men tell. And it was really just my privilege to be able to share them.
Absolutely. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, always kind enough to join us Fridays on the Hoosier Report. Make sure you head over to assemblycall.com or at Assembly Call on Twitter. Check out the Bill Mallory tribute podcast show that Jared did great stuff, and I need to finish, want to finish listening to it over the weekend, but really good stuff. Jared, as always, thanks for coming on. Unfortunately, we have a long time between now, even the start of the football season, let alone the basketball season, but fortunately, we have good people on like you every day, and you're the Friday guy to come on and talk IU basketball, and so for that, we're very appreciative.
It is always my pleasure, Matt.
All righty. Jared Morris, Assembly Call, with us on Fridays. We'll head out to a commercial break. When we come back, Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star for his Friday spot. Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series is on tap for next week. Romeo Langford, a couple other IU signees in action a couple times, actually three times next week. In the junior series between the two states, it gets underway this weekend. So basketball coming back. Summer League started last night at New Albany as well. I'll mention that at some point later in the show. So a ton of stuff to get to. Stay with us for Kyle Nedrip coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here, Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, Kyle Nedrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. And Kyle, gearing up for a big week of basketball after a pause at the end of the high school and college season. Some reason for excitement, the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series gets underway next week. And the juniors, actually, that two-game series will be played Saturday and Sunday. So fans that want to get some basketball early in this series can go out to Trinity High School on Saturday afternoon. Keon Brooks, Trace Jackson Davis, some IU players of interest. There'll be some others there that Indiana recruiting as well in the junior class. Also locally, Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, who is expected to be one of the great seniors here in Southern Indiana this coming season. He'll be playing in the game. So it's always fun when Indiana and Kentucky hook up and the juniors get things kicked off this weekend, Kyle.
Yeah, should be a kind of a new event. I know they've done it before with Kentucky and Indiana juniors playing each other. They did it for a few years, and now it's coming back. Kentucky didn't have a team there for a couple of years, and I think it's a good event. It's going to be a chance for some other juniors this year. Of course, there's 24 juniors who are on the boys team this year, and because of the three games they're playing, two against Kentucky and one against the Indiana All-Stars. So there's a core group and then a South and a North who will all get a chance to, and a Central group who will all get a chance to play in one of those games. The core group will play in all three. So, it should be a good event. The first one's tomorrow at Louisville Trinity, like you said, and then they'll come back home on Sunday afternoon and play Kentucky up at Ben Davis. So a chance to get out and see some of those junior players who a lot of them probably will be playing on the Indian All-Star team next year. So should be a good event. And I know the Kentucky team feels good about their group as well. So that should be a pretty good game.
Kyle Nedrip, Indianapolis Star, as we get ready for All-Star Week. We'll have a ton of coverage next week. We'll be telling you more about our coverage of the Indiana-Kentucky games, and we'll have some guests on throughout the week previewing not only the junior-senior exhibition game, which is Wednesday night at New Albany, but also the weekend games, Friday at Bellarmine, Saturday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Early response has been great. Good ticket sales so far for an early date. A lot of interest. We talked about that some last week in a series that unfortunately has been a little dead in recent years. Indiana still gets out, does a great job organizing and running the series. The Kentucky side, it hasn't been near as well, to be just frank with you. But some interest this year. I think, like you mentioned, Kentucky feels good about their juniors. I talked with their coach earlier in the week. They feel like they have a very competitive team on the boys' side again this year. They got a win. They split the series with Indiana on the boys' side last year. So maybe some new life breathed into this game between some competitive Kentucky teams, between Romeo Langford and a lot of IU interest in the game, and just kind of getting the series back to maybe where it was and seeing if this year can serve as a boost to the future.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really well-attended event. I think I was up at Kokomo on Monday to cover baseball, and Charlie Hall, I had a chance to see. He came over. He lived right there close to the baseball field, and he came over, and we talked for a few innings, and I know that the game at Bellarmine is not quite sold out, but I put a link to their tickets in our story on the juniors today, so people can see how to get tickets down there at Bellarmine. But when I talked to him Monday, there was probably only about maybe 300, I believe, tickets available for that game, and I think it's going to be a sellout for sure once it's all said and done. But so if you want to get tickets, go ahead and jump in and look to get those ASAP if you're wanting to go to that game. But I think, also the New Albany game, the junior game down there is going to be really well attended. And the, I don't know about the junior games necessarily with those being on a weekend and how attendance will be there. But I think the game at Bankers Life will probably be the best attended game we've seen in a while, which, perspective on that, I think is it's been pretty well attended here the last few years, and it's kind of been on a kind of a steady pace as far as getting people through the gates there, and they've had good crowds here the last several years, so I think that'll be even better though, especially with Romeo being a part of that. So yeah, I think I think people feel good about this year's event and all the games that'll be played, and I think they'll all be certainly the games next week will all three I think be really well attended.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, joining us here on a Friday edition of the program. Romeo Langford obviously continues to be a hot commodity. This is the final chance to see him in a high school basketball setting, and I guess the only thing you can do to top a high school career where he scored 3,000-plus points, had all kind of national honors, was Indiana's Mr. Basketball, among another long list of statewide honors, is to lead your all-star team to two wins over Kentucky. And so I'm sure he sees this kind of as the final challenge, because within days after the series comes to a close, he's expected to report to Indiana.
Yeah, that's it's kind of the last go around for him, and I think it'll be fun to see how he plays with also some of his future teammates at IU, with Fennessy and Demezi Anderson, of course, being a part of this game, and it'll be interesting to see how it all fits together. I thought they played when the juniors got together last year, and a lot of these guys had a chance to play together. I thought they looked pretty good. They won one of those games, and now you add Romeo to that, and they're going to be even better. So I think this is a class that we've known for a while is I think it ranks, if I had to rank them, it'd be pretty near the top of the groups that I've covered, in my 10 years here as far as a class goes. So, really not a huge group of, not any real big post players or, great rebounders necessarily, but, it's a team that, you have a lot of different, moving pieces, a lot of great guard play. I think it's going to be a good, exciting team, a team that, from an all-star perspective, can really get out and go, and I think lends itself well to an all-star type setting.
Kyle Neddenrip, Indianapolis Star, joining us. Kyle's with us each Friday on the program. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up some high school baseball before we let you go. Big weekend of regionals across the state. We'll be down at Evansville following Jeffersonville in 4A, Silver Creek in 3A, and there are a lot of big games across the state too.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how tomorrow, Ron Colley plays Cathedral. Cathedral, of course, the defending state champs, and it's a team that's a lot different than it was a year ago. Just as far as the personnel on that team, but Ron Colley, really good. Of course, Nick Schnell, next week he's going to be a high round draft pick, potentially in the first round, and that's always fun to see a player like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward myself to seeing how those baseball regionals go, and I had a chance to see a great game. Like I said, it was up at Kokomo on Monday, and such a heartbreaking game for Kokomo. That team's been, this was so much talent, and looked like they were maybe going to finally get through and lose by one run to Zionsville in the sectional there. So kind of sometimes the best stories are the agony of it, and that Kokomo team, came so close, but, ultimately is sitting home now. But Zionsville's had their number. They're 3 in a row now in their sectional. So a lot of good stories out there, and looking forward to seeing how that goes tomorrow afternoon.
Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Kyle, hope to see you in a few weeks. All-Star Games, Baseball State Tournament. We'll catch up more and look forward to our next chat on Friday.
Okay, thanks. Good. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, again, Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays on the Hoosier Report. To a quick commercial break we go. We'll return with Kip Westner of Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Big Hoosier Reunion Classic All-Star Game in Knightstown. A lot of great players, some IU interest in that game as well, some local interest too, and we'll tell you about all of it after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All-Star basketball game tonight. We talk about the Indiana-Kentucky series next week and the junior-senior exhibition next Wednesday. Even this weekend, you've got the junior All-Stars from Indiana and Kentucky going against each other, as we talked about in the last segment with Kyle Nedenrip. But don't forget, there's a game tonight at the movie home court of the Hickory Huskers, a doubleheader tonight. It's called the Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic, and it's got a good mix of IU interest. Also, Luke Goman of Floyd Central will be participating in the game as well. And to close this Friday show, we're joined by Kip Westner of Hoosier Basketball Magazine, who is helping put this great game together. And I tell you what, Kip, another great collection of players representing the state of Indiana and the outgoing senior class. And I tell you what, it's a pretty talented group, both sides, both rosters tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate being on with you, Matt. Really satisfied on the girls' side. We've got 10 Indiana All-Stars that will be part of the 6 o'clock game. Doors open at 5, and the girls' game starts at 6. And then the boys' game will follow at 8, kind of the Friday night feel from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, even today, with still playing basketball on a Friday night. On the boys' side, Robert Fennessy from McCutcheon will be part of the game, as well as Jerron Coleman, who's headed to Ball State next year, and Dean Tate from state champion, 4A state champion Warren Central, who's an Indiana All-Star, will also be in the game. There's a press release at our website, HoosierBasketballMagazine.com, but there are tickets available. So if anybody would like to make the trip and see Luke from Floyd Central or Fennessy, tickets are available at the door. They do this as like a fundraiser. Tickets, reserve seats, $25, but there's only 600 seats in the building, so you can still get in tonight.
Absolutely. We're talking with Kip Westner, Hoosier Basketball Magazine. Again, the game tonight, girls' game, I believe, tips at 6 o'clock. The boys' game will follow after that. Now, Romeo Langford is not going to play, but he is going to be at the event. Is that correct, according to the roster?
Yes. And that's, I've had communication with him and his family, and they is going to be there and participate in the activities, but not the game. He's an honorary player, and we're thrilled to have him as part of this event. We have 7 Indiana All-Stars on the boys' side. He would be an 8, so 8 out of 13. So, yeah, it's great to have him there. And, in fact, a player on the other side, Hayden Langcable, which was part of Morristown's Class A, he was injured, so Terhune will have an honorary player with Hayden Langcable, and the Hickory Huskers will have an honorary player with Romeo Langford.
How about that?
The game is at the Hoosier Gym. Yeah, the Hoosier Gym in Knightstown. I didn't mention that before, but Knightstown, just between Indianapolis and Newcastle off of I-70, and it's the doors open at 5 o'clock. Sorry, go ahead.
I love the names, Kip, the Hickory Huskers and the Terhune Tigers. You've got a complete tie back to Hoosiers all the way around.
Well, Pacesetter Sports in Terre Haute, Brent Compton does a great job with the uniforms because they are replica maroon and yellow for Hickory and blue and white for Terhune. And, you know, we got 4 outstanding coaches for both the boys and the girls across the state. So, yes, it'll give a feel. With only 600 people in the building, it'll give a feel of that winter atmosphere of basketball, because they do have air conditioning.
Talking with Kip Westner of Hoosier Basketball Magazine. I've got to admit, Kip, you know, I've been around basketball about as long as you have in the state of Indiana, and have been to all the games and so many of the functions, and there's so many great things that happen throughout the high school season and, of course, even in the summer months as well. This is a game I've never been to. I've been to the Hoosiers gym, the gym there in Knightstown, but I've heard really, really good things about this game. And with some IU interest in the game and with Luke Goman, a local kid for us, it's great to see him recognized in an all-star setting. I'm hoping you get some guys, some fans from our area up there for the game tonight.
Yeah, and even on the girls' side with North Harrison, Callie Knowles is part of the game. She was a state runner-up last year with North Harrison. And we do have Miss Basketball Amy Delk, who will be headed to Michigan, and Caitlin Gilbert, who will be headed to the University of Notre Dame. So it really is a star-studded event, and I appreciate being on with you and sharing about the game. This is the 13th annual year that we've done this, and it's kind of a mainstay.
All right, it's the Hoosiers Reunion All-Star Classic, Knightstown, Indiana. It takes place tonight. The girls' game is at 6 p.m. The boys' game will follow at 8 o'clock. And, again, Romeo will be there, will not participate. Luke Goman on the boys' side will participate. Some IU connections in the game as well. Kip, it's always great to catch up. Top 40 workout, North-South game. Hoosiers reunion game almost in the books. I guess the next time we talk will be maybe a little closer to the start of the 2018-19 high school basketball season, which I know you're already working to prepare for the upcoming magazine.
Yeah, I appreciate you mentioning that because it will be the 49th annual Hoosier Basketball Magazine. So kind of building up for that 50th year. Gary Don always talked about getting to 50 years, but yes, I'd like to be on with you in the fall, and we'll talk about basketball after this event closes out our calendar year.
Sounds great. Kip Westner, Hoosier Basketball Magazine, good luck with the event tonight. We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
That's going to just about wrap things up here on this Friday show. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock, John Spears has the call of Silver Creek taking on Batesville in the 3A regional down in Evansville. We'll follow that up at 1:30. That's 1:30 local time here. That would be 12:30 Evansville time with the Jeffersonville versus Whiteland game on the Big X. So it's a doubleheader in the morning. We'll be back tomorrow night. We expect Jeff to win. We'll follow Jeff in the championship game, but we'll have call-in reports from the other regionals as well. So make sure you're with us all day on the Big X. IU baseball today, 5 o'clock. Summer League got started in New Albany last night. The Bulldogs and North Harrison both played. Some Louisville teams. New Albany defeated DeSales last night in a varsity game. Those games continue Tuesday and Thursday at New Albany. We'll be previewing the Summer League a little bit. Start having on some basketball coaches very soon to preview what's going on here this summer. Have a great weekend. IU baseball today at 5 o'clock. I'm back Saturday in Evansville. We'll talk with you then here on the Big X Sports Radio.